Colin Livingston joins us once again. And, Colin, lots of news. NASCAR is resuming its season on May 17th at Darlington Raceway. Two races there, two at Charlotte to kick things off. Their first six races will take place without fans, and three of them are going to be midweek races, which actually makes a lot of sense. You know, you race on the weekend, then you're going to race midweek, then you're going to race on the weekend. It actually makes a lot of sense. Plus, it's close to all the shops for the teams, right? So it probably saves them on money.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, to get, you know, obviously the overwhelming majority of NASCAR teams are headquartered in the Charlotte area, within, you know, probably about an hour, hour and a half of downtown Charlotte. To get to Darlington, you know, relatively easy. And then doing midweek races is no big deal. They're going to be televised events, but still without fans in attendance. So, you know, to be able to kick off relatively close to home, you know, they're going to race the Cup guys on Sunday, race again on Wednesday. So even if they have issues with cars, if they have issues with you know, anything mechanical, they still have really plenty of time to get things turned around. You know, we talked a lot, listened to you guys a lot about how many pre, you know, quote unquote preseason type hockey games are there going to be before hockey gets back to reality, and how many games do you play before the playoffs? You know, obviously motor racing is in its, you know, the early parts of the NASCAR season and hasn't started in other series. So, this is a good way for NASCAR to really shake off the rust, see where everyone's at and try and figure out a system before, the fans get back into the, stadiums.
Colin, you know, obviously everyone's trying to figure out how do you manage this with COVID floating around, lurking invisibly. So what kind of measures will be put in by NASCAR to try to respect the local rules or regulations of any state and or, I guess, city or town?
Yeah, I don't know if there are going to be any state-specific requirements, but they're going to contain each series. So at the professional level, there's the Cup Series, Xfinity, and then the Truck Series. All of those are going to be contained to one-day events. So typically at the Cup level, that's a three-day program. You show up, you practice on Friday, practice and qualify Saturday, run the race on Sunday. They're gonna concentrate that into one day, so that minimizes you know, the time that everyone's going to be exposed. Everyone will have to use PPE, personal protective equipment, throughout the weekend. They're talking about mandated health screenings for anyone entering the race facility, making sure that, you know, social distancing is enforced. They're going to really limit the amount of individuals that are around the race teams and are at the facility. I mean, if you don't have to be there, you likely won't be there. I think they're also going to be limiting the number of, you know, photographers, because generally, if you've got a photo credential, you're allowed in. I think they're really going to limit the amount of, you know, ancillary staff that are around there. And then, as NASCAR seems to do fairly well, they'll just react to whatever issues happen to come up.
So we'll kind of wait and see what happens there. Obviously, it's kind of, you know, that's the plan. You know, if there's some massive return of the outbreak, then obviously that would be canceled. But hopefully, you know, that's just the beginning. You know, we see it here in Alberta. There's an announcement ongoing right now as we speak of how Alberta's slowly going to start opening up. So we are seeing some positive signs. F1, as Colin Livingston joins us, they're planning on a little bit later start to Austria, July 3rd to 5th, again, without fans. Then they've got Silverstone, back-to-back races. The French Grand Prix has been canceled. What do you make of all the F1 announcements? And, you know, do you see any significant difference in their approach compared to NASCAR?
I think it's going to be really similar. I'm actually, like, I think Europe is taking this far more seriously than the U.S. is. Obviously, there are countries in Europe that are, you know, heavier hit than others, but They're definitely giving their teams lots of time to, you know, put things in place. They're giving everyone lots of time to, come out. Most of the F1 manufacturers moved into, you know, respirator and protective gear, manufacturing. So they'll have to, switch back. They also shut down, you know, like, formally shut down their operations. So no developments were done on the cars. Until they get the green light again. There's a lot of backdoor fighting. I shouldn't say fighting, but positioning with these guys, that they're really, really trying to reduce the budgets. They're really trying to limit the amount of money the teams are spending because, you know, obviously with virtually no revenue coming in for the last couple of months, it's hard to put a competitive, a car on track. What's interesting is that they're juggling the schedule so much. So they're going to concentrate the beginning parts of the season in Europe. The back-to-back races, you know, Austria is a very easily accessible track for most of the teams. It's always an entertaining race. The track at Silverstone is obviously where the majority of teams are headquartered, again, within a couple hours of the track. So that'll be a good one. Very, very, very strange to see Silverstone without fans. To see a race contested there is going to be very, very, very strange. I'm not too sure what that will look like. But just glad that we're finally going to start seeing, you know, a start to these seasons.
Colin, you know, you mentioned the fact that they're not making much progress as far as, you know, improving the cars or anything like that. What's the long-term hit of that if this is the year without any kind of, you know, creating or amending or, you know, improving the cars? Could we see the cars less fast, let's say, in 5 years from now because of this one-off year? Is that, am I overthinking things?
There's a major rule package, a major change in the way that cars are put together, that was planned for next year, and it's been pushed back to 2022. That's really going to be where all the new rules kick in. I think no matter what, you know, it's we always say that the rules are the same for everyone. So no matter what, I don't really care if we see an F1 car hit 200 miles an hour on a straightaway or we see an F1 car hit 185. The people that are watching will never notice that. We're always looking for good on-track battles and building cars and creating rules that allow overtaking. If your car is legitimately faster, you're a better driver, you know, we want to be able to see that the driver with talent can overtake another car. Hopefully this year we don't see teams too hampered by reliability because they haven't been able to develop their stuff. I don't think it's really going to manifest itself in speed, but there might be some reliability issues.
Cantor Race Report, our man Colin Livingston is with us, as he joins us every Thursday. We're looking at IndyCar, and they have some of their virtual races. And an F1 driver had some success. Should we read much into this? Maybe tell us what happened.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things. On the surface, it looks like the Formula One driver jumped into the IndyCar race and laid a major whooping on the field. I mean, he outqualified everyone. I watched some of the practice races that happened through the week, and nobody had anything for him. Which, you know, the fact that he comes from Formula One, I think, is what people are making the big deal out of. But in reality, there have been a number of actual Formula One drivers who have come into actual IndyCar, and they tend to struggle. The difference between most of those drivers and this guy, Lando Norris, is he started iRacing when he was 6 years old. You know, he's 20-something now, so he's been at it for 15-plus years. He's, like, one of the best iRacers out there. So that's really what the takeaway is that, you know, he's an expert at running these virtual races. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's a hell of a driver in Formula One, and the McLaren team is going to do, I believe they're going to do even better this year than they did last year, which was another rebound year for them. But the fact that Lando was able, he spun himself out, made a mistake pulling onto the front straightaway, lost the lead, dropped way back in the field, got shuffled back in pit stops, and then just you know, in essence, he obliterated the field. He really embarrassed the guys by how much he drove. I'm kind of curious. They were supposed to run a fantasy track this weekend, but the overwhelming consensus, IndyCar, you know, shifted gears. They're going to do a virtual Indy 500. I don't think they'll do the full length, but apparently they've extended another invitation to Lando to run on an oval. And I think you'll see where, while you can be great at iRacing, the IndyCar teams with their strategy and the actual IndyCar drivers should be the guys up front.
Colin, as always, man, great stuff. We appreciate it. Have yourself a good weekend. And hopefully May, with a lot of announcements, we will see racing and like a lot of other sports slowly inching towards back to normal. Should be great.
We just need to get these go-karts back on track, man. I'm dying here.
Well, it's good. You're going to be in the best shape of your life. You're working out at home, of course, right? Staying in shape.
Of course. I mean, you know, between pushing my luck, yeah, once in a while I move away too.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.